Hello, everyone, and thank you for checking out Muttcast. This is going to be episode 7. For those of you that have listened before, I am back from vacation, so these are all going to be live. I'm recording this on the 17th of September. Should be probably coming out early tomorrow morning when you guys are watching this. Team of the Week has not been announced. For those of you that are listening after this, there are some cards that they put out. I'm assuming that there are some Team of the Week cards that they put out that if they don't, you know, if it wasn't affected by the Monday Night Football game that just happened, it looks like Patrick Mahomes and maybe Melvin Ingram are going to be the two set champions or you know, the Team of the Week masters, although might be Khalil Mack after watching that game. So look out for that. It's coming soon. There's no offensive player that would really say it's going to be the Team of the Week player. I know the Seattle tight end did really well. I don't even know his name, though, so I very much doubt he's going to be the Team of the Week player. Though he may make it on the roster for the Team of the Week. A few others: Danielle Hunter, Deshaun Jackson, Andy Dalton, Ricardo Allen, and then there's you know, the lower tier ones. So yeah, I would assume that, you know, there's a couple people from the Monday night game that might make it into the lower tier ones, or maybe into the 84, 85 players. Besides Melvin Ingram changing, I would guess that it's going to be Melvin Ingram and Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes seems like a lock to me based upon what happened in the Monday night game. And, of course, he threw for 6 touchdowns. This was released. You know, I know if you follow EA Sports, they did do a Team of the Week blog, and I'm assuming that that's pretty much going to stay the same. So it seems like that this, you know, this might be kind of nice that they're giving a little preview of the Team of the Week before the Monday night game. I don't know if this is going to continue, but definitely, if you're not following Madden Ultimate Team, it's at EA Sports _MUT, so Mutt. If you're not following them, it's probably one of the best ways to get a bunch of information on what's coming out and what the new content is. Also in the news, I know Krayla put out post on the forums, the EA forums. There are some people that apparently were in solo battles and they're receiving losses before the event even started. And they had the incorrect number of wins on the solo battles board. So they actually suspended it for, I believe, today and tomorrow. And they're going to adjust. Yeah, so it's going to be back on Wednesday, September 19th. For those people that have played, they're going to do something with the games. They're going to scrap the games in terms of leaderboards for this week, but they will be doing something for the games that people have played. For those that haven't played, like me, it's going to be similar to a few other weeks where they had to adjust it and start the solo battles on Wednesday. So essentially, you'll sign in, you'll probably see 4 losses, which is typically what they've been doing. And you know, if you go through and you play our games, you obviously won't be able to get up to 250,000 for that elite tier. But they're going to adjust the tiers to not include those 4 games. So it does say they're going to communicate the information on the EA forums, typically Krelo and EA Sports will tweet those out. In fact, EA Sports retweeted Krayla's tweet. So again, you can follow esports_mutt or at @EA_Krelo. So it's KRAELO for the most up-to-date stuff in terms of those that information. So they did, however, come out with it. So they're coming soon. I don't know exactly if they're in the game yet. I think they're probably coming tomorrow. A Cam Chancellor flashback, 90 overall. Daryl Williams, who I believe got injured on Sunday, so this could be his last card for a while. Daryl Williams, 90 overall heavyweights, and then Derek Johnson, 88 veterans. So the veterans card is two less than the other two cards. I mean, I was looking at this Cam Chancellor a little bit earlier because the fact that I have the campaign cam, and it's actually interesting. I was thinking about getting rid of him. Because, you know, it's kind of slow. I didn't think his zone coverage is that great, but this flashbacks card looks really good. So it does have 84 speed, which, if you think about it, it's really fine. Because, you know, all right, so he's not going to catch Tyreek Hill, but when did Cam ever catch Tyreek Hill? And honestly, which safety? And it's all point of most people trying to get Tyreek Hill or like a Randy Moss, is that there's almost no players that can catch them. So I don't think 84 speed is that bad, especially if you're playing some sort of cover three where one of your safeties is up near the line. But he's got 89 tackle, which obviously, you know, he's, if he gets a hold of someone, he's going to bring him down. 93 play rec, so he's not going to get fooled. Which, you know, speaks to, he's also got 80 pursuit, so that the 84 speed, the play rec and the pursuit is going to put him in the right position to make the tackle. 80 man coverage, I'm a little surprised by this, because that's pretty good, especially if you take a look at some of the tight ends, in what their route running is, or even, you know, someone besides Christian McCaffrey for the running backs, you know, that's going to lock them up. So, you know, it's a decent amount of wide receivers, too. So, at this time of the year, depending on what, because of the fact that the route running is different if you're doing a short, medium, or long route, that route running maybe less, or maybe, you know, let's say like 82, 83, not that much higher than his 80 man. 89 zone, so that's very, very high, and then 94 hit power. So the one thing that I've noticed about Cam is that the campaign Cam, he knocks so many balls out of the receiver's hands. So especially, you know, people are used to running that verticals and being able to hit the slot wide receiver. Especially this year, because they sort of nerfed the way that the users can animate. So Cam really seems to knock a lot of balls out of that guy in the slot. And that's super, super helpful. So I can't imagine. I know his campaign card is not at 94, although I believe it is over 90. I can't imagine what his 94 hit power is going to do. Daryl Williams, so he's got 83 strength. I honestly have no idea what that does. But besides the 83 strength, everything is 90 or above besides run block finesse. And I am no idea. Well, run block power, run block finesse. I get the pass block. I get the, you know, the pass block power, the pass block finesse, the difference in those. And actually, some of these pre-recorded this when we were talking about stats and team building. It's not something I touched on. But the way, from what I understand, and I think Clint Olenberg was a big part of this, just because of the fact that he was a former lineman in the NFL. You know, there are different players that defend different things, obviously, differently. So if you have a guy that's really good on pass rush, but he's a quick guy, so let's say like a Dwight Freeney, for example, and he's very quick, very fast, but not that powerful. So, you know, again, this is, you know, probably a card that won't be that good in the run, but at the same time, if you have a tackle that's very strong, very sturdy, but maybe is not that, you know, agile. So let's take, you know, for example, like Marcus Cannon from the Patriots, or, you know, I'm sure you guys have some example of a guy that's you know, not quite, doesn't quite have, you know, has a lot of strength, but doesn't quite have that quickness. Instead of just having one version of pass blocking, for example, you know, Marcus Cannon had 90 pass blocking, but Dwight Freeney had, you know, 87 finesse move and 80 power move, because it's not that powerful. Well, typically, Marcus Cannon is going to lock. It's going to lock him up. But, you know, the thing with this and being able to have the pass block power and the pass block finesse, you know, let's say they have a guy like Cannon again, he's got the 90 pass block, but he's got 92 pass block power, but 82 pass block finesse. So, you know, Dwight Freeney goes with a spin move, which is a finesse move, and his move is registered as 87. And Marcus Cannon, you are taking part of the calculations, I believe, up to 90 for his overall pass block. But then as well, his 82, you're factoring in his 82 finesse, which is below Dwight Freeney's 87 finesse move. So it's just to enable pass rushers to be able to have different types of rushing the passer, and to be able to penalize a guy that might not be as even keeled on the offensive side. So he's not able to shut everyone down. And that actually allows EA to be a little more diverse in the way they do power move and finesse move, especially those traits. So if you know, like a guy like Freeney that's going to take advantage of, you know, let's say a swim move, or, you know, let's say a spin move, because that's what he's known for, is a spin move, he'll be able to, every once in a while, take advantage of Cannon. So even though Cannon's a pass blocker, and I'm just using him as an example, I'm not saying he's the best pass blocker, you know, let's, whoever you want to say, you know, like, even though your tackle is a much better pass blocker, every once in a while, Dwight Freeney's going to fool him on a spin move if they're not balanced. But I don't exactly get how that factors power and the run block finesse. So, obviously, similar thing. If you have a guy that's got a swim move, that makes sense. But when you're run blocking, you're going towards the defender. So you're really using your strength on their strength. And obviously, when they try, and the only thing I could think of is, you know, you're going at them. And if your run blocking is 90. But your run block finesse is 82, then if the guy tries to shed the tackle using a swim move, then maybe it's going to go partially 90, partially 82. That's the only thing I can think of, honestly, because I don't exactly get, I get why it's in there for pass rushing, but I don't exactly get why it's in there. Especially because they already have things for pulling guards, so such as agility. Maybe the run block finesse will. There's like a lead block statistic now. So I don't exactly know what the finesse is. So even if you have a guard that's pulling, if his rem block finesse is 82, then he maybe has a lower chance than overall rem blocking if his rem blocking is 90 and his rem block power is 90. But, you know, honestly, they have this lead block. They have agility. They have speed, obviously. So I don't exactly know what where this finesse fits in. And honestly, there's got to be someone out there that's done testing that has a YouTube video up. But I haven't seen anything in terms of what actually qualifies or what, you know, what that run block power, run block finesse go towards. So, obviously the back of the card, what I have at Darrell Williams is his 90 awareness, which I think is, I think that's important for linemen, unless you have glitchy plays where you have the QB contain, and we'll talk about that in a second. I know when I was away, there was a patch, and there were a bunch of things that got patched that, you know, affect both MUT players and franchise players. But so he's got 90 awareness, 92 pass block, 92 pass block power, and 90 pass block finesse. So it's pretty even on the pass block. 90 run block, 90 run block power, and 88 run block finesse. So he's pretty even on that as well. In terms of guards, unless you're doing maybe like a pitch to the outside, I don't think that he's going to need to worry about his lead blocking. Looks like a really nice card. Both the Cam Chancellor and the Darrell Williams are power-ups. The Derek Johnson isn't. Honestly, I didn't realize Derek Johnson was still in the league because I remember him being on the Chiefs for a very long time, but I don't remember him switching to the Raiders. And I figured that, you know, this is just sort of like a low-key legend when I saw this. So he's got 80 speed, which is... 80 speed is pretty... It's pretty typical for a middle linebacker, I'd say, this time of the year. So there are faster guys, obviously, Deion Jones. I know the guy that, who the Bears drafted, Roquan Smith, is, I think he's 82. So there are a few that are over 80. But typically most of the middle linebackers are around 80 speed. 84 acceleration, 71 strength. So what I've realized, so he has 71 strength and 69 block shedding. He's got 88 tackle, 90 play rec, 91 hit power, so he hits hard. And then 85 zone coverage, which is extremely high. So if you're looking for a guy, I know he doesn't have that much speed, but if you're looking to put someone, you run a 3-4, you're looking to put someone that you don't use her. Maybe you have a Deion Jones that's a little faster. You want someone that's just going to be able to cover the zone. He's got 85 zone. But one of the things I have noticed is that the same way that they're trying to make it so that hopefully they can put high finesse move, high power move on linemen, they've really sort of made it so that there's this rift, especially in linebackers, mid linebackers in particular, where you typically have a guy that has some block shed and some strength, maybe not the strength, but at least the block shed, or he's got good coverage skills. You may have a guy that has a lot of block shed and a lot of hit power, but he's not going to have zone, and he's probably not going to have speed. Or you may have a guy that's got some speed and some zone coverage, some good play rec, but he's not going to have the block shedding or the strength like Derek Johnson. So 71 strength, I have no idea where that factors in. I mean, honestly, again, someone must be doing testing that shows, when a lineman comes up against him and he's got 71 strength, he may shed the block, but he's going to be pushed back 2 yards before he does. So at least that's my hope. honestly, just as someone that enjoys the game of football, I would just hope that that's the way that they made it, just because that would force you to make the decision. And I kind of like what EA's doing. So, I mean, you either do have one way or the other, where you have a guy that's good against a run, or you have a guy that's good against the pass, and it really forces you to figure out what you want to do. Obviously, you can have more than two middle linebackers, so you can, you know, have a guy that's, you can have two guys that are good against the pass and two guys that are good against the run, because you have four middle linebacker slots. But, you know, it really forces you to figure out who you want on the field, if you want to split it, so one's good against one, one's good against the pass, one's good against the run, or obviously on third and long, you bring two guys on that are good against the pass. I'm just looking at it now. So, I actually have Michael Kendricks. He's got 81 speed and 81 acceleration. 72 strength. Honestly, I don't think there's any. I mean, besides if you have Ray Lewis or someone like Urlacher, there's not really that many linebackers that have that high strength. The reason being, of course, is, you know, the later on we go in the year, they're going to need these guys to be able to get up into the 85s with, you know, with having that being an improvement. He's only got 81 tackle, or 80 tackle, sorry, he's powered up for me. And Kendrick's only a 77 zone, so he's got 82 block shedding, I believe. I have him powered up again, so he's 83 for me, but 82 block shedding. So I think a lot of people would assume this year, this early in the year, 82 block shedding is good for a middle linebacker. But the 77 zone is not that great, as where someone like even the Mark Barron, the kickoff Mark Barron, has 80 zone coverage. So in 90 hit power, didn't realize that. But then again, he has 65 block shedding. So it's really that trade-off. I kind of like it, but I understand that there's, you know, obviously a lot of people that kind of want some good options, that they, you know, they can have a decent amount of block shed. But you know, that as the year continues, we'll start to see that. We'll start to see some of those players, and you know, honestly, I think we still haven't got to the point where there's the, you know, sometimes they'll do the breast cancer awareness promo a little bit later, and as well as the, of course, the Halloween promo. So we'll start to see some of those players, some of those big upgrades are coming out. And honestly, I know there's a few other people out there that have said that, you know, the way they're doing the cards, where the team of the week is maybe, I think I saw 10 to 12 of them that are not, and then the two masters, so a total of 12 or 14 cards for the team of the week, and they have one of each of the flashbacks, heavyweights and veterans coming out each week. It's not a ton of content, but it is pretty regular, and it is something that's keeping the game fresh. So it feels better. It's not like there's a lot of cards that are coming out where it's I know it's actually Gut Fox that I think mentioned this on his podcast, the Muttmed podcast, that, you know, it's not as formulaic. So that's really allowing EA to be able to take some time to actually upgrade these players. And, you know, I mean, this Cam Chancellor, I don't know exactly what he goes for, but this flashbacks Cam Chancellor looks really, really nice. So, you know, it's allowing them to, it seems like there's cards coming out every single day. It really does. Especially with the kickoffs promo, which we haven't touched on, and we'll touch on in a second. But it seems like there's cards coming out every single week. And it's really allowed them to do that without seeming like there's too many cards out there, and it doesn't really matter what's coming out, because it's not going to be that much better. It's just going to be, you know, couple points here, a couple points in the catch, you know, maybe plus one in the speed, but that's about it. It really does feel like these players are an upgrade. Cam Chancellor is going for $500,000 coins. So definitely a highly sought after card. I don't know exactly if he's selling for this much. But $500,000 coins, that's a lot of coins. So the kickoff promo, I was away. I'm sure most of you at this point know what it is and know what's going on with it. And know the three players. There's Luke Kuechly, there's a Rob Gronkowski, and then there's a Antonio Brown. So all three of them obviously are power-ups. All three of them have very high overalls. Antonio Brown, obviously everyone got him to start the year off. So that Antonio Brown is maybe more sought after in terms of what people want. So he's not the sexy pick. I feel like a lot of people are probably picking out of the pack Kuechly or Rob Gronkowski. But I feel like there's a lot of people that either are not doing it that want that Antonio Brown, or are doing it and also want to add Antonio Brown because of the fact that they already have his core lead anyway. I feel like most people were surprised when this came out, just because of the fact that they had so many other things. They had the Team Diamonds. They had a lot of things that were coming out. And, of course, Ultimate Kickoff, and he didn't, it was, you know, coincide with the beginning of the NFL season, but, you know, to have something so close to the beginning of Madden and not have that be the kickoff, at least for myself, I was really, really surprised that that happened. But there are some really good players, Ezekiel Elliott, Brandon Graham, Casey Hayward, and Drew Brees are all 90s. I gotta say, I feel like, it's not that Ezekiel Elliott's a bad card. Not saying that, he's going for about 210 right now, which seems to say that a lot of people don't really want him. Or, you know, they're all going down in price right now, but, you know, 89 speed, 89 carry, 91 agility is nice, because I think you can get Never Stumble. He's a power-up, obviously. 67 catches, not great catching. 74 trucking, so also not great trucking. But 88 great tackle. So, not to say he's not a good card, but I think a lot of people already have the Saquon, either through their redemption of the set last year, and they have that rookie premiere, or they might have already got the rookie premiere. The fact that, you know, I'm level 37 and my rookie Williams is 84, 85, so he's getting up there towards as you go, Elliott. He might not get up to 89 speed pretty soon, but he's getting up there in terms of being close to that and 90 overall. And of course, by the time I reach level 50 without buying packs, I'm going to be able to have him at a 92. So I think that really puts Ezekiel at a disadvantage. But Drew Brees, I know a lot of people like to run. He's also going for 210. So that just may be the going rate. But he's got 65 speed. So those people that like to run, he's not going to be the best option. His throw power is 88. It's good. It's not something, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are looking for that 90 plus throw power. Throw accuracy short is 93. I have heard that the way that the thresholds work is 80, 85 for mid, and then 90 for throw accuracy deep. So then 93, you know, similar to the way that Alex Smith that just came out looked, where it's, you know, it's nice that it's 93 for throw accuracy short, but if there is these thresholds, you know, even if there isn't, I mean, you know, 90 plus at this point, you know, it's a short pass, it should be more accurate anyway, so 90 pluses, and I'd rather see some of that taken from throw accuracy short and put on thoracic deep, which is 81. My thoracic mid is 89, so that's not going down that far. But you know, maybe those 3 points, bring it down to 90, put those on thoracic deep, and then make it 84, so there's a lot more balance. Historic pressure of 94. Honestly, I talked about this before, and in terms of the gameplay, the throw under pressure is pretty huge to me. You know, there's a lot more pressure in the game this year, even if you're playing solo battles, and that throw under pressure is big time, because you know, you're going to be under pressure, and the throws are super inaccurate if you're under pressure and you don't have good throw under pressure. So I think that's huge. It's 94. It means you can stand in against the zero blitzes people are throwing at you and still be able to throw an accurate ball to the one-on-one coverage. Throwing the ones 81, so it's pretty good for a guy that doesn't actually run. The play action's 88. Casey Hayward, he's actually 206. He's actually less than Drew Brees. I'm a little surprised about that. Especially because of the fact that, so his main coverage is 90, his zone coverage is 93, and his press is 90. So, his play rec is 94, so, you know, I'm leaving off, he's not a high jumper, he's 81. His acceleration and speed are both 86, and his agility is 85. But he's going to recognize the play, he's going to have good zone coverage. Most people probably be playing zone. And you can press him without having to worry about the guy getting past him. Unless, of course, he's Tyreek Hill, and with his 86 feet, you might want to give him backed off. But, yeah, I mean, that I'm kind of a little surprised at that 206 for his card. Because that looks like a really good card. And I hadn't been thinking about that before, but that looks like a really good card. Brandon Graham is at 209, so it looks pretty typical that all these guys are between 200 and 210. His speed is 74. So he's sort of an example. He's got 91 power moves and 84 finesse moves. So, for example, if you have a tackle that's not quite as strong, his power moves are going to be able to, his bull rush, for example, is going to be able to overpower that tackle a lot more. You know, he's not going to be able to spin that well. Obviously, 84 is pretty good, especially this time of the year, but he's not going to be able to spin or swim move as well as he's going to be able to bull rush. He doesn't really give up anything on the rushing, so he's got 81 strength. And honestly, for a guy that I just mentioned how he's a bull rusher, you know, he's a pretty strong guy, at least, you know, I don't remember. He's got 81 strength, but then again, Derrick Williams is 83, so it's not like he's losing out that much. And as I mentioned, Derrick Johnson is 71, so he's much stronger than Derrick Johnson. His block shedding is 87, and his play rec is 86, so you're not losing much on a guy that's not really a pass rusher, but he can still stop the run. He's pretty balanced. And basically, so those are the four options. You put those four in, and you get one of Antonio Brown, Luke Kuechly, and Rob Gronkowski. Again, I mean, like, if you, for example, obviously have the Antonio Brown, that's the elite player, but, you know, I have Rob Gronkowski paired up to an 84 overall, so I need him powered, I need to bring him up to 87, and then I can get the core elite at 89. But, you know, if you are planning on doing a set, I would just take a look at, you know, let's say that you've already started Luke Kuechly before this came out, and you're sort of trying to figure out which one to go with. You know, I'd say go with that. Now, you get these back all NAT. There's a great video that by Popular Stranger out there talking about how you can get a free, quote-unquote, limited time card. So I do want to preference that, you know, and I wrote him a comment as well that, you know, this quote-unquote limited time card does have to be a power-up card. Because the great thing about getting these four players back is they give you about 1,100 training for every single player. If you you quick sell all of them, that's going to give you about 4,400. And what the limited time players are going for at this time is about, you know, instead of inserting that limited time player, you can actually pay for it using training points that you quick sold all four of these from the set. So if you do want to, if you want a single, let's say you want to get Gronk or Keekly or even Antonio Brown, if you don't want to power them up using your core elite, but sell them for the coins, then you can probably get, you probably sell them for about 500,000 or so. And as I mentioned, each one of these cards is going for about 200,000. So it's going to take about 600,000 to complete the set. If you can get kind of close to that, you can get pretty close to a free elite, maybe about 100,000 or so for a limited time card, which is pretty nice. Now, obviously, that changes if you're going to keep the card that you put into the set. You do actually get, I believe you get enough cards for the solos to be able to complete one of these. So I was able to do the ultimate kickoffs, kickoff golds to at least once. And I think they're going to give you an 85 to 88. So I think you're able to do one of these once. I'll probably do the Brandon Graham set, but you're able to do at least one of these 90 overalls just from doing the solos. And I did actually do some of the daily challenges. You know, this ends, I think, on the 20th, so it's not a ton of time if you haven't started it. I'm 86 out of 99 through, so I'm pretty close at this time. But, you know, every single time that you complete your daily objectives, you actually get a gold card. It's NAT, but it is a gold card that you can put into that set. So, and of course, if you don't use it for this promo, you can always just quick sell it for training. Or just put it into the gold collectible set. So, I mean, I guess the main thing is, you know, with the patch that came out that I actually didn't even touch on yet, and I'm probably going to have another episode. This one's running right about 37 minutes or so. Probably going to have another episode a little bit later this week about the patch, about some of the other thoughts. As well, I just want to make sure that this is not too long, and I think that the way the schedule is, there wasn't an episode that came out last week, so I probably have one a little bit later this week talking about that patch, but I do have to say that I'm pretty excited about the way that, you know, the solos have worked. I know Journey, people say it's a grind. It doesn't always have to be a bad thing. I mean, you know, the way that look at it in terms of there's going to be plenty of solos out there. You know, I play a ton of solos, almost entirely solos, and you know, I've gotten through the Team Diamonds, the Gatorade solos, the campaign with the Team of the Week, but you know, those keep updating. But you know, I still have 6 on the Hall of Fame. By the way, that hasn't expired. You know, the Chronicles is a long shot. I don't think I'm going to do that, but you know, there's plenty to do in terms of the gauntlet, the journey, the 65 gauntlet, there's 173 journey, there's the ultimate kickoff, as long as, I have to say, based upon the fact that the Hall of Fame solos haven't expired, I wouldn't expect the ultimate kickoff solos to expire, but they might not be in packs, so I wouldn't count on that. I'd definitely get the solos done if you want to. I'm going to try and get the set done if I want to. I'd say check on Whitehead, check on EA's Twitter account, and you know, you get the answers for some of those questions. But I believe they're at least going to be out of packs. The cards are going to be out of the store. But you may be able to do the sets the way they've been doing it. You know, nothing really expires, which is great. There's no time scarcity in some of these scenarios. And I have to say that I really do like that. Everyone hates to be a target when a new promo drops, and or on vacation, and like myself, and new promo drops, and you just have no time to complete it. I just got back in time for the Double XP weekend, which I'm sure they'll do again. So it's nice to have these things that, of course, some of these things like Double XP, they have to be time sensitive, but it's nice to have some of these promos that actually don't expire. So, that is all I have for today. Like I mentioned, I'm hopefully going to have another episode out. I know we basically just touched on, basically just ran through the new cards that came out, or about to come out. The Team of the Week, the new promo cards, the flashbacks and whatnot, and then the Ultimate Kickoff promo. So much more to talk about. So I will hopefully come out with another Mudcast episode later this week. Definitely keep your eyes out for that. To be able to see that when it comes out, definitely subscribe. Please write a review if you can. It doesn't have to be long. It just really helps on iTunes, and rank us or rate us 5 stars because that helps as well. I will answer some questions next time in the next podcast, so later on this week as well. Some fan questions. I did have a couple that came in, but please feel free to send yours in. I haven't come up with that podcast, so if you do have questions that you want answered, please feel free to send them my way. And you can also, if you want to follow my Twitter, I would highly encourage you to do that. The Twitter is going to be Gecko Gaming, so it's at Gecko Gaming, so GECKO, like the animal, Gaming 06. That's the easiest way to keep up to date in terms of when I'm going to be sending these out as well on there. That and both subscribing to iTunes. So feel free to send questions there as well, or to geckogaming06 at gmail.com. You can send them there as well. So that is all I have for today. I will talk to you guys a little bit later this week, and I'll see you then.